Hello, welcome to the WDW Review. I'm your host, Chris Malik, and I'm joined by a long-lost friend, Scott Ferrioli. Scott, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing really good. Good to see you again, buddy.
Nice to see you, too.
Scott speaking, of course, from his Victorian library today. Nice to see that, Scott. Yes, in all its splendor. So, full disclosure, Scott, we're just going to get this right out because there's nothing I like to do than embarrass my friends a little bit.
Oh, thank you so much.
So Scott and me are actually pretty good friends off the air. So the last time Scott and I recorded, we recorded through Skype. It was audio only. We did video.
Every time.
Just audio only. So we're recording through a different platform. So I pulled up Scott's link today. Scott's lying in the bed, got his t-shirt on, just chilling.
Yes.
Hey, Scott, you know, we're doing video today. We're doing video. So, yes, we're now in the regal splendor of the Victorian Library. So, anyways, good to see you, buddy. Hey, we got a lot to talk about, and I'm glad to have you back because we're going to hit on things like your local perspective on, frankly, Disney parks, the resorts, some DVC talk. We're going to talk about just Florida in general. And all this is going to be predicated on you being a local during a pandemic and changes in things you've seen, because it'll help people prepare for their trip as well, too.
Yep, yep.
But I've been to the Ferrioli House, and I realize you guys have a really cool home theater. And I also realize you love watching movies. So, Christmas movie. You're a Christmas movie madman. I mean, I see a Christmas movie on all the time at your house, right?
I have to say this. For the past, I'd say 3 weeks or so, we've been watching at least one a day, sometimes two a day. It's been a little crazy over here.
You're tiring out the Hallmark Channel. I just want you to know that. You know,
I've been enjoying them. They're silly, and they've got the same setup every single time, and they're goofy, but they're feel good Christmas movies. And my wife and I have been watching at least one every single day.
All right, can I show you? Can I just throw a shocker in right now? I cannot recall I've ever seen any Hallmark Christmas movies. Ever in my life.
Really? Mm-hmm. Well, if you've seen one, you've seen at least 30 of them.
Pretty much, right?
Yeah, they have the same exact setup, and they're hysterical to watch, but they're, again, it's Christmas, and they're always decorated and over-the-top Christmas stuff, so it's a lot of fun.
Okay. You know, you're going to have to help me this year then with Christmas, because usually I'm over-the-top. You've seen pictures of my house, and you've seen me try and decorate. I had a hard time getting into Christmas this year. I really did.
Really?
Yeah, you know what? Even still right now, we lack on the outside decorations. The inside looks nice. But I have so much that it's harder to start that process. And this year, for some reason, there was something in the air. We still got our decorations up, and a lot of them are old school family decorations. But I just had a hard time getting into it. I don't know if it's the environment or the time right now, but it was unusual. But going to your house was actually really cool, because I could see you guys are full bore into it. So it's really nice to see.
Yeah, it's one of the things that it makes my wife really happy. And we decorated a decent amount. We haven't done outside a lot recently, but a lot of inside stuff. So we decorated a good amount for Halloween and then Christmas. And my wife found that it made her feel a lot better, like things had been missing, you know. And all of a sudden, when she started decorating, she was like, she was never in a funk. But I mean, with the pandemic, everybody's kind of a little off. But just putting out the little knickknacks and the little decorations just made her feel so much better.
Has your dog eaten any of them yet, Scott?
No, not yet.
Not yet. Man, that was a history in the Malik family, is which decoration, ornament, anything is going to get destroyed this year, but it hasn't happened for us as well, too. So,
oh, good.
Hey, before we start, your home theater. Quick, your top three Marvel movies. Give me your bottom two Marvel movies.
Probably the second Thor. Not a huge fan of it. I'm drawing a blank on even what the name of it is right now.
The Dark World. So
Dark World, yep.
You weren't a fan of the Dark Elves, were you?
None of them are bad.
Okay.
I mean, all the Marvel movies are pretty darn good. But the second Thor, probably towards the bottom, and maybe Iron Man 3.
Okay, Guy Pearce and Christopher Eccleston.
Again, not bad. When I say that these are my bottom ones, I've seen these movies multiple times still.
Yeah.
So, I mean, these are not bad films by any means. It's just they're towards the bottom of the ones that I watch again or really enjoy.
Select again. Okay, give me your top three.
Tough. Guardians of the Galaxy is up there.
Okay.
Is in the top three. I'm not even sure right now. Gosh, there's so many. First Avengers, and maybe first Captain America. I love Cap.
Interesting. Because that one seemed to take the longest to get into the movie. It takes a while to build up that whole storyline. You know, the action doesn't really start until about a third of the way, maybe a little more.
I was going to say, not a lot of action, but there's just something about Cap and going back to, like, you know, the 40s. I just enjoy that movie. It was 40s, 50s? When was Cap? I'm trying to think even.
No, it was World War II. You're right. Okay. So, okay.
But it's just, I just enjoy Cap. I enjoy, you know, they joke around about, you know, how righteous he is and how it just, I just enjoy, I love Cap. I think he's just a great character. You know, and it was always the Cap versus Iron Man thing. I'm always Team Cap. Okay. Love Cap.
It's hard to argue with anything that you say there. Number three and number two for Thor did lack a little bit, but even still, when you're talking about, like, the ether, I probably said that wrong from Thor 2, The Dark Elf, it was still a really good movie, you know? Yeah. So they're all enjoyable. But, where does Thor Ragnarok sit on your list?
Thor Ragnarok is towards the top. It's an odd one, again, with the different director who... I can't remember.
You're right. I'm going to say it wrong too. It's Taiki. You're wrong. Yeah. You're right.
I thought it was going to be silly. It finally gave Thor a personality, and I've seen that movie probably 10 times. I really enjoyed Thor Ragnarok.
It might be our top. My family all agrees. It might be our top. That's like the go-to movie in the car when we're like driving somewhere. It'll be Ragnarok. So
that's definitely up there. I mean, maybe that's four. That could be in the top three. I kind of got surprised by it. And you're like, you know, pick your favorite, you know, Marvel movie. And you're like, oh my God, there's 30 here. I didn't even think about Thor Ragnarok. That's definitely up there. That's a fantastic movie. Great soundtrack too.
Exactly. Which kid do I love the most? That's what I just asked you right there. And you had just a brain steam. So, all right. So let's take you over to Disney now. So full disclosure. So Scott is a small business owner. And so let me just speak on you for a while. Scott is a owner of buyandselldvc.com is the website, and DVC-rental. And essentially your business is if someone has a DVC membership and they're no longer interested in keeping that membership for any reason, they can go and contact you to sell that membership to people that are looking to purchase those memberships at a discounted price over what Disney does. And they can also contact you if people that have DVC memberships don't want to use their points. You can rent them through Scott's company. Is this all correct so far? Have I interpreted it in a nutshell?
Yep, you're absolutely correct.
And part of the way that Scott actually makes this seem so effortless and easy on his part is, frankly, he lives close to Disney. So he's there. So he gets really good pictures. He's there to go and meet people. He's there to get great footage. And so in terms of, like, mileage and distance from the Magic Kingdom, 15 minutes, 10 minutes, 12 minutes, somewhere around there. Is that accurate, Scott?
Less. To Magic Kingdom, I could be behind Magic Kingdom, like in cast member parking, in probably 3 minutes. But by the time I kind of like go out and circle around and come back into Magic Kingdom, probably 9 or 10 minutes.
Nice.
Because I have to go all the way out. I have to pass Grand Floridian and pass all the resorts and then kind of pull a Huey and come back down World Drive.
That's the way that we got to your house as well, too. We ended up passing by Shades of Green and Grand Floridian and through the back door. Yep. So, all right. So as a local's perspective, let's just transport people back to the beginning of the pandemic. You know, I not necessarily looking for like your thoughts, but did it change your habits as a local? Or were you guys saying, okay, no, as soon as the park reopens, we're going to go back to it. We're going to hit it. Because obviously you were surprised when they closed everything down for a while. Yep. But what did you think when the park reopened? Did you guys were going to go back immediately? Were you going back full bore? Did you think it was not going to happen? They were going to close? Or give me some thoughts on that.
Well, I definitely didn't think they were going to close. I mean, I thought they'd put some stuff in, some precautions in place and everything, but I didn't think they would actually close the park. And when they originally announced that they were going to, they said, we're going to do it for like 2 weeks at the time. I was like, holy crud, that 2 weeks, that this is going to be a huge pain for the business. It's going to be pain. You know, we got a lot of families coming in. Families are checking in a few days. What are we going to do? 2 weeks felt like an eternity. And then, as you know, it just kind of dragged out until July. Eventually, we're at 4 months. But you know, once it reopened, we were there. I didn't want to go back the first day. I kind of wanted to see how everything looked. And Universal opened before Walt Disney World did. Mm-hmm. And I ended up going to Universal beforehand, before Walt Disney World even opened. After a couple of days, I saw the previews were really, really busy. And then once it opened up, it was rather dead. So we went to Universal, and I think that that's what helped out a lot. We went to Universal, and it was very, very quiet. And Universal did a fantastic job keeping everything separated, putting up plexiglass, you know, everything to help keep you safe, hand washing stations, you know, all over the place. So I knew that Disney was going to do a similar thing. So once Disney opened, we didn't go, you know, like the first two or three days, just because we knew it was probably going to be a madhouse. Mm-hmm. But once the, you know, maybe fourth day in, that's when we hit Disney. So we were there very, very early on. And both Disney and Universal did a fantastic job. And they're still doing a good job because, you know, obviously pandemic's still around and we're in the middle of it. So they're still doing what they can. But I feel safer there than pretty much anywhere else.
Yeah, especially, you know, when your Publix or your Winn-Dixie or your Walmart is the same as everyone else's store. And so if you've been to those stores, yeah, I can verify that it's probably less of a risk being there than it is at your local grocery store.
Yeah, absolutely.
So describe this, though. There are a lot of people that are going to watch and listen that haven't been, frankly, out of their state. They may not have been on a vacation, and I can't fault them for that. But yeah, the first moment you decided, okay, we're going to go back, like the apprehension level in you personally, it must have been pretty high. Like, what am I getting myself really into? Or did you really think, okay, no, they're not opening unless they've got this down tight and it's clean and it's organized? What was your like hesitancy level there?
Well, I wasn't too hesitant because in the beginning I knew that there weren't going to be a lot of people there, and I had seen videos online. So I saw that, okay, everything is relatively dead, especially during the weeks. You know, the weekends are more crowded. But again, this is early pandemic. During the week, there's barely anybody around. So I saw the videos. I said, you know what? I'm not too nervous. We're always very cautious anyway. Like, you know, whenever we used to go in, but, you know, pre-pandemic, you know, you got to sit there and use your little finger on the scanner, you know, scan in, and then immediately we would take out antibacterial and wash our hands just because we sat there and said, there's been, you know, a thousand people have touched this little scanner this morning so far. So, you know what, I'm going to just go antibacterial my hands a little bit and I'm good to go. But we were always relatively cleanly anyway. So it wasn't a big change for us. But I mean, again, I knew that the crowds were going to be lower. I wasn't too nervous, and I was thrilled when I walked in and I saw everybody wearing masks and the social distancing markers set up, and again the antibacterial stations all over the place and some plexiglass, and, you know, boarding every other car and seeing both companies, you know, cleaning the carts every half hour, whatever it is, their rotation. Mm-hmm. I mean, I felt confident right away. It's gotten more crowded now. I mean, when I was there, I mean, in the beginning it was completely dead. You know, now we're at 20%, it was 20%, 25% capacity. Now we're at 35% capacity. I mean, when I was there the first couple of weeks, I would say maybe it was at 5%.
Gotcha.
I mean, they allowed 25, but I'm guessing maybe only 5% were there because they just opened and it was pretty much all locals. Gotcha. So, I mean, I was very confident and fine up front, and which is good because I would not have wanted to jump right back into 35% capacity, filled to that capacity, because I would have felt a little more nervous about it.
Yeah.
But I was able to, like, you know, slowly get back in there, and it made the transition nice and easy for us.
Is that the number right now? Is 35% is the official number out there right now?
I think it's official. I mean, I keep seeing 35 floated around everywhere. I'm 90% sure that that's the official number that Disney has increased from 25 to 35% in the last 2 weeks.
Gotcha. Okay, so this is the part where we should probably let people know. So if you're looking at your home state right now, undoubtedly, they're enforcing some kind of restriction in one way or another. It could be that restaurants can't open inside dining, or bars and nightclubs and gyms have to do this and X and X. So Ron DeSantis from the state of Florida states that he's not going to impose many restrictions anymore, and that people are going to largely, how can we say this correctly without making people upset? People are going to largely, if you're vulnerable, we're going to make sure we try and keep you safe. If you're not, we're hoping herd immunity happens. But I'm not imposing any travel restrictions or any restrictions on the state of Florida. And that includes theme parks. So I do believe that Disney and Universal would have the ability to go almost at 100% capacity if they so chose to do that. They are not doing that, as a matter of fact. They're taking the step right now where it's like, look, this is our place. This is our business. We are self-imposing this number on ourselves because we want to make sure we're keeping people safe. So yep. That's something I want to discuss with you, is just the general state of Florida, because right now, in theory, you could go to your neighborhood gas station and fill up, and maybe 60% we wear masks, 40% wouldn't be wearing masks. And it's okay in the state of Florida at this point. The ratios could be off. But at Walt Disney World and Universal, mask compliance or mask yes. requirement is still 100%. You don't get in without it. And the compliance, as far as people, you're going to see the occasional video on YouTube or Twitter or Facebook of some knucklehead that decides he's not going to wear a mask that day, whatever the case is. But you know the rules going in ahead of time. Are cast members, are they being proactive, strict upon like mask wearing and coverage on your face? Scott, what have you seen as a local when you go in? And you go in uniquely because you only go in for like a ride or two or three. You walk around, maybe you grab something to eat. What do you see cast members doing as far as mask goes?
Cast members seem to be doing a great job. I mean, you barely see anybody walking around without a mask on. Periodically, you see somebody walking around, they've got the mask down, and it's because they're drinking or eating as they're walking, which you're not supposed to do, and I have seen cast members enforce it. But you pretty much never see somebody just walking around with no mask on in the middle of the park. I mean, 99%+ of the time, you don't see that. So you barely see anybody unless they're eating or drinking. So the people who are going to Disney have been really good. The cast members have been enforcing it and have been doing a really good job. Again, they could possibly enforce the people walking around with drinks and eating a little bit more. But I mean, because you do see that. Mm-hmm. But I think that there's a very good chance that the people that are doing that have probably already been spoken to multiple times per day and just don't care, and they're just doing it anyway. But the cast members are doing a fantastic job. And I mean, again, there's always room for improvement a little bit. But again, you can't stop somebody from doing something wrong every single time. They're going to sneak out, and they're just like, you know, every now and then, I'm sure you know, you used to see somebody smoking a cigarette as they're walking around, like trying to sneak it a little bit. You know, they can't catch everybody every single time. Mm-hmm. But, you know, they do a good job of maintaining it and keeping that from happening, because you never want that to be a common occurrence.
So when you're in the park, obviously you're not in a perfectly hermetically sealed environment. You're still responsible for your own self. And if you see something that gives you the EBGBs, it's up to you to stay 10, 12, 15 feet away from that environment. Cool. Because there's nothing safe, perfectly safe, especially at, well, frankly, a theme park, you know, so.
Yeah, I mean, considering how bad it can be and how what I've heard other outside theme parks, you know, not in Florida, you know, other theme parks around the U.S., I've heard have been a lot more lax. I mean, Disney and both, I'll bring Universal in here as well, because those are the two that I've gone to a decent amount, have been absolutely fantastic. And the people who are going there are doing a great job as well. Again, there's some people who, you know, don't want to wear the masks no matter what, but they're wearing them, and maybe they're trying to, you know, take it off periodically. But I mean, both companies are doing a great job enforcing it. And again, it's the safest place that I've been at. Especially the restaurants as well, because I've been to some outside Disney restaurants recently that have, as you said, give me the heebie-jeebies a little bit, where I was like, oh, you know what? This is one of my favorite places. And as of 1 week ago, I'm not comfortable going there anymore. Mm-hmm. But at Disney property, they're still spacing out the tables. They're only doing the 30% or whatever capacity at the restaurants, 35%. And I've felt very comfortable at the restaurants, and Disney's doing a fantastic job.
So one of our co-hosts, I'm glad you said this, one of our co-hosts, Stacy, took a trip down in August. And at the time she was going down, it was on Chicago's quarantine restriction list, Florida, the state of Florida. And I remember she drove, and the goal was, we know we're going to have some conservative accepted risks driving, going to the bathroom at a rest stop or whatever the case may be. But once we get to the Disney bubble, we're going to feel safe. Now, we don't want to proclaim that if you are on vacation or listening or debating going to Disney, that the moment you get to a Disney bubble, it's, like I said, it's a completely sterile environment. It's not. It's not without its risks, but they are doing a great job mitigating that. So I had a discussion with an employee of mine. He just got back from a travel vacation for his nephew from a wedding in Mexico. And I said, so how was that? I was expecting to hear something, you know, unique. And he goes, it was cleaner than you could possibly imagine. And then, you know, you get to thinking, like Florida, like Disney, like Universal, they are completely reliant upon that tourist dollar. Without people, they have nothing as far as the theme park industry goes, as far as the theme park, you know, the revenue they generate from the resorts and the theme parks. That's all they have is public perception. And in the world of social media right now, Scott, you show me three or four videos in a row that shows non-mask compliance and essentially like Dodge out there. That's it. I mean, people will cancel their airfare. They will cancel their reservations, their resort stays. Bam, lickety split like that. If you put us in danger, Mexico, Universal, SeaWorld, you know, whatever the case is, Disney, that's it. That's all there is. That's all they have. So their reputation right now is exactly why we're staying at 35%. So we have to convince people that we are a safe environment. So I'm glad to hear you say that. You said that. I've been to Florida now three times since the pandemic starts, and I've not been to the theme parks, but I've been to the Springs every time. So I can tell you from the Springs perspective, it's the exact same. You see the occasional chin bra, you know, right here, you know, right down the chin, and it's usually covered up pretty quickly. But even still, we're talking like 98% mask compliance in the spring, which is a really high number.
And I will say Springs is a little bit worse than the parks. The parks are a little more tightened up than the Springs because I think you've got a lot more adults at the Springs.
Yes.
And you've got a lot of them are walking around and drinking and having fun, and they're with larger groups. And yeah, you're seeing a lot more noses and mouths sticking out at the Springs. But still, as you said, still doing a very good job.
Doing a really good job. Even in my perspective.
The Springs is Thunderdome.
Exactly.
No.
10,000 people enter. Yeah, no. Exactly. So, you know, I guess my point to all that is this. If you're listening and you're debating that Florida vacation, there are some logistical hurdles you're going to have to get past. You know, what airline carrier, how you're going to sit in the plane. Do they offer the middle seat if you're driving? But I can tell you that it may not be right for you to travel. You mentioned that on one of your videos. And by the way, I watch all of your videos on Facebook, Scott. You guys do an amazing job of both the resort videos, which I still don't know how you get access to all those great rooms. You must have great friendships everywhere to get access to those rooms. Not Disney friendships, just customers and people that are staying. You do a great job with that. And you do a great job in the parks, just showing things. So you made a point to say, hey, and you were at Epcot this one day, it's okay if you're not ready to come back. It's okay. It'll be here when you are ready, because no one's trying to force you right now. No one needs to go and have that added stress on you if you're not ready to do it. But being a local, you know, would you say it's a safe time? I think so, to travel to Walt Disney World. Now, again, the logistical issue is part of that. That's a whole different issue.
Yeah, I mean, obviously right now it's... You can't say it's as safe as it used to be.
Yeah,
you
know? I guess safe is a bad word.
Yeah. Yes. No, but I mean, you know, I think it's fine. I mean, planes still make my family has not been on a plane just yet. We're planning on going next month. We're supposed to be flying up to New York. And from what I've read online about the planes is that with all like the HEPA filters, all the special stuff that they have with the planes, that it's very, very rare that you could possibly have like any spread on the planes. I guess there's so much of the air being sucked up and cleaned that like it's supposedly super, super safe. But truthfully, the airports possibly, and the planes are the things that worry me the most. Mm-hmm. But I haven't experienced them yet. So that's probably part of it. You know, it's like, you know, a lot of people are nervous about the parks, but I've been to the parks. So I know, okay, you know what? The parks are pretty darn good, and I'm comfortable at the parks. I haven't done the plane yet. And while I've heard that the planes are really good, I haven't experienced it yet. So once I experience that, you know, then I'll be able to speak about it. But as of now, I mean, I think it's pretty safe to travel just as long as you're smart. Mm-hmm. Wear a mask, sanitize, make sure. And the thing is, I see this all the time. My kids, my 10-year-old used to touch everything. I mean, in the queues, like, you know, touching as you're walking in, touching the ropes, touching the rails. And I was like, oh gosh, how is he going to do? And he's been absolutely fantastic.
Yeah.
I can't believe how good he's been. But again, I'm at the parks all the time and I see the kids just running their hand down the rails and the parents don't care. And I'm going, oh, wash their hands, please. Mm-hmm. But I mean, everybody's different. Everybody has different comfort levels. And I mean, everybody, it's been relatively safe. Our numbers, I mean, we are the travel capital of the United States. I mean, this is the travel destination of the U.S. And there has not been huge outbreaks here. I mean, you would think if there was going to be a gigantic outbreak, it would be here with everybody's coming here and all the locals are getting sick. I mean, you would think that there would be this huge, you know, epicenter right here, and there hasn't been. I mean, our number, you know, Florida's numbers on a whole are, you know, higher, but I mean, still, like right now, when we're at the peak that we've seen so far, I mean, Florida's, I mean, if you go down the list of like new cases every day, Florida's maybe 10 or so, and Orange County, where Disney is relatively low. We're getting maybe 200 a day, which is pretty low considering that it's a big county, over a million people, yes, and it has every theme park right here. And we've been relatively low. So, I mean, it's pretty safe. I mean, you just be smart. You and your family have to do what's right for you, and you be proactive about it, because, you know, the people next to you in the line, you can't control what they're doing, but you can control what you and your family are doing. Make sure your masks are on. Make sure you're washing your hands. Make sure you guys are being safe, because you're in control of everything. So as long as you're doing it well, I mean, you should be okay.
Yes. So let's state this right now. The date of this recording is going to be around the middle of November. And it's important to say that, because a lot of our experiences come from back when it was earlier in the fall, when the numbers weren't what they were right now. And if you're listening in January, it may be like, wait a minute, Scott, those numbers in Florida are exponentially higher. So we realize that. So we're just talking about the current state of the travel industry, you know, right now, and the current state of Disney right now. Mm-hmm. Scott, I can verify. I have flown twice, once into Tampa and once into Orlando, and I drove once. So I can verify that on the planes, I was super concerned. I was super concerned. So I went in the Southwest website, and you know, you do a little research from here, from there, from everywhere. And between the hemostatic filters, between the no selling of the middle seats, between the, you know, you bring your own sanitizer wipes and wiping your seat and chair down, between the mask compliance, between the spacing, it recycles the air completely in a cabin every 3 minutes. So okay, through a HEPA filter, and they completely sanitize. I realized, I was like, okay, there's minimal exposure, because frankly, I've been to Home Depot to buy Halloween stuff, and I waited in a line of like 8 people, and I had to pick up the scanner myself and scan the items on the way out myself. And I realized, okay, so there was a mental block I had to get past, and I did it, and I've been back 3 times, and I could very well be sick right now, not know it, asymptomatic, but I haven't been. And so, again, you said it great. You are responsible for yourself and your family. You're not responsible for anybody else. There's no judgment if you take it or if you don't, but it can be done. There's my girl. There's Reese's, right?
So, oh, is that?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you are responsible for that. So, but if you felt there was a time in December, January, February, if the travel restrictions were lower or now, it's okay. It could be done. So let me ask you this much. You mentioned to me about outside, and I want to touch base. Can I ask you a question on the attitudes of cast members right now? Mm-hmm. I'm not looking for dirt. I'm amazed they're doing as well as they are, because Disney holds itself to a standard that no one else does, in the sense that when you go there, this might be your only trip planned for like 3 years or 5 years, and you're going down there waiting for this lifetime of dreams to come true, in the middle of like the most like confusing environment of all time, and the cast members still have to try and bring the magic. Have you seen cast members as cheerful, as enthusiastic as they've always been, or has it been tampered a little bit?
It's hard to tell. I think it's probably just about the same as usual. They're doing a great job. I mean, it's tougher for them. So, I mean, it's something to consider, is that, you know, if you see a cast member and maybe – I almost said, you know, they're not smiling, but that's the thing, you can hardly tell. You can't tell. They're wearing a mask. They're trying to wave and say hello. So, you know, they're trying to show that, you know, hey, I'm smiling back here. I want you to have a good time. You know, they're doing a great job. But I mean, you have to remember, these cast members could be, you know, standing outside at a cart for 8 hours today wearing a mask, and they're probably exhausted and tired, and they're going through everything that you are, possibly as a family, but possibly worse.
Yeah.
So I mean, they're doing a great job. I mean, I know, especially in the beginning, they were thrilled. Everyone I spoke to was fantastic, and they seemed like they were thrilled to be back. I'd see, like, so I'm on Facebook all the time, and sometimes you'd see a cast member who says, you know, I don't want to go back. I'm too nervous, you know, and, you know, they were a little more cautious. But most of the cast members who I've dealt with have seemed absolutely happy to be back, and they're doing a fantastic job. They're bringing the magic as much as they can, and they're doing everything. I mean, normally they could smile and just say stuff. Now they're, you know, they're waving more, and they're talking through the mask. They're doing more than normal to try to give you that same Disney magic, except, you know, to make sure it's coming through.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I mean, they've been absolutely fantastic. And also, you know, not only wearing the mask, you know, they're seeing the people who are possibly more cranky because of the mask or pulling the masks down. So if anything, they're probably a little more jaded than normal and trying not to show it. And they're doing a fantastic job. So, I would be jaded if I was a cast member. I'd be walking around going, I see your nose, cover your nose. What? Yeah. Put that up. I'd be annoyed all the time. It's like, I'm not meant to be a cast member. You know, I try to be nice, but I can't be super jolly all the time. I'd be sitting there judging people. I'd like, make me be the mask police. I want to go around, put your mask on.
Yeah, exactly.
I'd be mad. I'm sure there's a lot more people complaining. It's cooler now, but during the summer, picture when it was 100 degrees and people wearing masks and it's sweaty. And I was there. I have to imagine that a lot of the guests were probably a little crankier than normal, you know, maybe through no fault of their own, just because it wasn't the perfect situation.
Yeah.
And I have to imagine that maybe the cast members dealt with a little more crankiness than normal as well, but they've done a fantastic job from everything I've seen.
So Scott, do you see my smile today is a little bigger than usual?
I don't know. You're always smiling so much. You're always in a good mood and smiling.
Well, here's why. So I'm going to relate to them. I'm amazed at the cast members that they continue to do the job they do. My golf season in Chicagoland just ended based on weather and based on the increasing COVID numbers and safety, because the majority of my staff is the high risk population. They're all seniors, the majority of my staff. So we decided, at least temporarily, to pull the plug for the time of the year. And it comes not a second too soon, because I'll be honest, when we were starting to roll in April and May, we were happy, we were moving along. And as the year goes along and you start to deal with people espousing their political virtues on you and they want to make a statement and the guy comes in putting his golf hat on as a mask, I noticed a change in my behavior as the year went along. And I was still in a good mood, but that tone got a little more aggressive and a little more, hey, as opposed to before saying things like, sir, you need to wear your mask. It was, sir, step outside my pro shop. You know, and it became a little more directive. So
I'll take a 3-iron to you if you don't get out of here,
yeah,
right now.
Get that, you know, so I noticed that change for myself. And so this was a year unlike any other year. And it just, frankly, it tired me out more than I have ever experienced in my job. And the cast members have to deal with people that, again, are taking their once in every 3, 5 or lifetime trips to Walt Disney World. And so they've got to be that good. So, yeah, I'm amazed they do as well as they do. So I'm glad to hear that. And I often wondered about the smile, Scott, because that's how everyone conveys we're in a good mood and we're happy. But you can't see anymore. You can't see the smile. You can't see, you know, those dimples. You know, you can't see that bright, shining face, you know, at the anymore. You see a third of a face now from this point forward. So,
and a lot of people were worried about that. They said, you know, one of the reasons I go is the cast members and the Disney magic. I think there are people who are looking for excuses. And there are people who say, you know, I'm not going to be able to experience it because, you know, they're going to be behind the mask. A lot of them are people who didn't want to wear the mask. And they were going, this is stupid. The cast members are going to be wearing masks. It's going to ruin my trip. The cast members are doing a great job. And again, they're waving and they're speaking probably a little more than usual. Instead of just smiles, they're saying good morning. And they're doing everything they can. I'm sure they were probably trained to do that. And they're doing a great job because, again, it feels just as inviting as it normally does.
Okay. Let's talk about closures. What have you seen as far as like park closures? Some heavy hitters closed down, you know, or is everything open? So, okay, let's say this. I'm going to Magic Kingdom. I've made my reservations ahead of time. I've got my park reservations. I'm getting in. Am I expecting full park opening at this point, including like all quick service options, or should I expect like half, or what should I expect?
You probably expect for dining options, you're probably looking at about half or so.
Okay.
Rides, I mean, pretty much every ride, as you know, Disney always has refurbishments going on. So there's always rides that are being taken down to work on. But I mean, ride-wise, you're expecting the same exact amount as usual. I mean, they're really not taking down any rides because of the pandemic. Shows, on the other hand, are different because when you've got to put everybody in the theater, sometimes it doesn't work out. So I'd say about half of the shows, maybe a little bit less, are currently running. There's some running. Not a ton of them are. But truthfully, honestly, I don't do a ton of the shows anyway.
Didn't they furlough a lot of the cast members that were involved with it?
They did. They recently furloughed a bunch of the cast members. Did like the Lion King show is one that I did a decent amount, and I love the show. As of right now, they're furloughed. You know, the Finding Nemo show is furloughed. Beauty and the Beast show over at Hollywood Studios are furloughed. So there are a good amount of the shows, like the main actors, that are furloughed. Like stuff like Muppet Vision, where they're, you're in a theater, but you're not using live cast members. A lot of that stuff is still rolling. But stuff that it seems like that's what Disney did. A lot of the ones that they have live interaction where you need a bunch of cast members working together in a small area and singing, you know, those types of things are currently on hiatus and the cast members have been furloughed.
Okay. Can I make some enemies here quickly then in that discussion?
Sure.
So when that happened, the initial response on social media is a quick, that's a shame, it's part of the magic. And I get that. I completely understand that. But this is an unusual time and it's uncharted. So if you take away the faces and names involved, if you have an attraction that requires a massive amount of cast effort, a full live cast, mm-hmm. and by design, it puts a large quantity of people, a density of people in one area for an extended period of time, that almost at this time, with the pandemic, it becomes a liability for safety quickly.
Absolutely.
So yeah. I do understand that. I mean, I don't agree with it because I do agree that many of those shows and the citizens of Main, they are the things that like make the memories on the trip. We've all been on Peter Pan. We've all been on Aladdin. We can go around in that circle for 38 seconds and then come back down. That didn't make me laugh, but you know, seeing, you know, the cast members on Main Street and the Dapper Dans. And I mean, that's the stuff that like grabs me. So I don't like it as well, but yeah. I do understand that. And you have to think past that, you know, in the initial gut reaction, everyone's outraged on social media over everything nowadays. You know, there's yeah. always a reason to be outraged.
Absolutely.
But think about the reason and the rationale behind it. It's not simply a cost-cutting move. It's a safety move. And I mean, there's a lot of reasons for these things to have happened.
Yeah.
And furlough Absolutely. Means, you know what, when we get past this and we can develop a plan for safety, you know, essentially, the people can be brought back. You know, there's nothing permanent. We've seen with the Disney company, we've seen with every industry, nothing is permanent until it's absolutely permanent. And I don't believe in my heart of hearts this will be permanent. So
I don't either. And I mean, Disney knows that these shows are fantastic and that people love the shows and that the cast members that do these shows are amazing.
Amazing.
It's just, as you said, it's, at this time, it's a liability. And, you know, it's a liability possibly for the audience. It's especially a liability for those cast members who are on top of each other and performing. And some of it is cost-cutting as well because, you know, when the parks do have a cap, and or even if they didn't have a cap, you know, right now numbers are down at the mm-hmm. parks, obviously, because mm-hmm. there are people who are not comfortable coming down here as they should be. So, I mean, numbers are down. So it's hard to keep everybody on. And between cutting people because I know a couple of people who were in the restaurants who got furloughed because, you know, they're only allowing 35% of the people to come to the restaurants. So you yeah. don't need as many servers around and you don't need as many busboys or cooks. And the park hours are a little bit less than normal as well, even though they're coming back right now. So you just don't need the same staff that, you know, you had. It's nothing personal to Disney. They've got to do it to survive. I mean,
it's a business.
Just like every company right now, it's a business and everybody's trying to figure out their way through this and survive it.
Okay.
So it's nothing personal against the cast members. You know, Disney, I'm sure Disney appreciates those cast members because all the cast members are fantastic.
Okay.
It's just, you got to do it and you got to protect them and you also have to protect the company.
Correct. Okay. Let's take you off Disney property. Let's segue here to another spot here. So again, you live by mileage, few miles behind Magic Kingdom. So let's say I'm staying at Bay Lake Tower and mm-hmm. I've had my fill. And let's just say we are back to full capacity at the restaurants and all restaurants are open, which we're not. If I wanted to get a local flair for some food close to the Magic Kingdom, okay, and I'm staying at Bay Lake Tower, where am I going for pizza? Where am I going for Mexican? Or where am I going for your favorite restaurant?
Tough one. Pizza, I just made a change in my pizza place recently. There's a place called Stromboli's in Windermere.
Okay.
That was my go-to place. It's a little bit closer to me than the new place. Food's always very good. A little bit expensive. But when I talk about food, I'm mostly just talking about pizza. I mean, when I'm going to these places, I'm not sitting down and getting these, you know,
gotcha.
Special manigot and all different things. It's pizza or maybe a calzone. So pizza, Stromboli's was really good. The last several times I went, and this was back when like everything had just opened and like everything's a little more, we'll say, tight. You know, everybody was really nervous. I mean, I didn't eat. I mean, while you were allowed to do food, take out food around here, I mean, honestly, we didn't get any takeout food for like 3 months. We cooked everything just because I was a little nervous about that. And again, that's just my family's thing. Mm-hmm. You know, we were just nervous about doing the takeouts. So we said, I'm not going to do it. Stromboli's food is fantastic. I would go in there and the cooks weren't wearing masks. And I'm like,
Dang it.
Yeah, I'm like, you know, this is like, okay, this is my first time out. I'm going to try takeout for the first time. I'm going to Stromboli's. They weren't wearing masks. So I'm like, oh, I'm not comfortable with this. And then like I went back one more time and they were, and then I went back a third time and they weren't again. And I'm like, I just don't want to. And then a buddy of mine said, it's further away in Winter Garden, NYPD Pizza.
NYPD Pizza.
It's in Winter Garden. Very, very good. As good as Stromboli's, possibly a little bit better, but prices are cheaper. And I'm a frugal guy. I really am. So we had pizza last night for dinner because every Tuesday, NYPD Pizza, it's $14.50 for a large plain pizza. It's buy one get one free on Tuesday nights.
Dang.
I'm like $7.25 for a pizza. I'm like, I'm in.
Yeah.
So NYPD Pizza has been the best I found recently. Stromboli's is really, really good as well. Pizza is typically about $18 or so, and no buy one get one free. So NYPD is my go-to pizza place for now. And again, just had it last night and really, really good. Again, from New York. So, I mean, I'm used to pretty decent pizza, and their pizza is pretty darn solid.
Yeah, and take no cultural reference. And, of course, I asked the Italian guy here, Ferrioli, the first thing is, hey, where do you go for pizza? Take no cultural reference there, right? So I need to know, where does the Italian guy go for pizza, frankly? That's what I need to know. So anyways, Scott, so let's be honest. You and me, you say you're frugal. And I say the same thing. There are some things in my life, Scott, that I feel like Jeff Bezos, that I will not be outspent on, and I must have it. And there are some things that, like, my kids are at the store and being like, hey, Dad, can we try that new peanut butter with what? Are you kidding me? That's like a dollar extra. What's wrong with you? You know,
exactly. You got to pick your wins, and you're like, okay, I'll spend my money on this, but I'm going to cut back on sometimes it's smaller stuff so that you can afford some of the nicer things.
You want organic? What? That's a scam. That's a scam. Yeah, I know how it goes. All right, where am I going for like tacos or a burrito or some great guacamole? Because the Malik family, we run on Mexican food, and it's been breaking our hearts that we haven't had it. And I know that our neighborhoods in Florida are different. So, yeah, I mean, so people know. I also have I visit Lakeland quite a bit, and Scott's in Lindenmere. We're separated by about 40 minutes, so we're a little different. But where am I going for burritos, guacamole, Mexican by you, buddy?
I haven't had a lot, to be honest with you. Again, I know my coworker recommends a place. If you allow me to mute it and yell downstairs, I can find out the name of the two restaurants that they like.
Let's do it.
I forget offhand. Sorry, give me a second.
Hang on. Wait. You should even mute it. Just yell down the stairs. I need to find out where they got to go. So.
All right. I will do that. Hold on. Okay. Shannon, what's the name of the Mexican restaurants that they like?
People, this is real footage right here. There we go.
Frutamix. Rosie's or something? San Jose's? It might be Frutamix and maybe San Jose's or something like that. But I know Frutamix. I think it's like, if it's Frutia or okay. Frutia, Frutamix, I think they're in Winter Garden as well.
Okay. Have you tried Tijuana Flats by any chance?
That's the only place I've gone to. Tijuana Flats is literally 3 minutes from my house, and the food's always very good. It's like, I want to say takeout Mexican. I figured you probably wanted like real Mexican.
Oh, yeah.
I think places are supposed to be very good. But I've gone to Tijuana Flats probably 30 times. And Taco Bell's right by my house, too. And I mean, that's as fake Mexican.
You don't want to say Taco Bell here. Okay.
You asked me for good Mexican. There's no way I was possibly going to say Taco Bell. And I was like, I need better than Tijuana Flats. But Tijuana Flats, I've been very happy with. I always get a steak bowl there. And my wife gets us steak flautas, and the chips and dip, and you know, queso and chips are very, very good as well, and relatively inexpensive. And I do like Tijuana Flats.
Nice. We have a lot of great Italian and Mexican places by our house here in Park Ridge. So the way that we, you know, kind of pick those places out is basically what the vegetarian options are. There's not a lot of vegetarian options at a lot of places, but you can see when there's a full out menu. Easy there. I'm watching your facial expressions. Mexican vegetarian food sometimes consists of like, hey, what's your vegetarian burrito? Well, it's the steak burrito minus the steak, you know? But sometimes you get a place that's like, no, we have grilled vegetables, we have grilled peppers, we have grilled mushrooms, we put it on there. So the extra care is kind of how we judge and things like that. So
I'm definitely not your go-to guy to find out about good vegetarian places. I'll tell you that much.
But you did offer to cook us a vegetarian dinner about a week and a half ago. So
absolutely.
I was greatly pleased by that. Can I ask you a question on DVC? Can we get to some brief DVC talk here? Is that okay?
Sure. Absolutely.
All right. So for everyone who's listening, Scott, again, is a DVC reseller, and I'm a DVC owner, and I decided earlier in the year I was going to sell my DVC points, and I talked to Scott about it, and I was not sure of what to expect in terms of the DVC marketplace based on the pandemic.
Neither were we.
Neither were you. So the pandemic hits, and all of a sudden, we've got, this is an exaggeration, obviously. We've got a million DVC owners across the planet, and all of a sudden, we've got absolutely no place to use our points for March, April, May, June, July, and we have this stockpile of points. So no one was sure, are we going to see this mass runoff? Are we going to see DVC values crash and crumble? Are we going to see prices increase? But how would it increase considering it's kind of like a used car? You get less years and the points are going higher. Like how does that work in terms of Disney economics? But So hang on, I want to get back to you on this because the world of DVC does not operate in terms of the world of economics. I can verify this, that the world of DVC is bizarre. So let's just give some general ideas. So let's say you owned at Saratoga Springs and you bought in at the 50-year mark. And let's say you bought it at $100 a point and you bought in 100 points, so you're at $10,000. Okay? And then you sell Saratoga at the 40-year mark, meaning you only have 40 years left in that contract. So like a car, you put mileage on the car and age on the car. The only thing is you sell it for more than you paid for it. Brand new with mileage? Okay, how is that possible? Oh, and by the way, when you sell it, you're not going to get all the restrictions, all the perks that you would necessarily get. So the world of DVC economics is a bizarro world. What did you see happen during like the pandemic and like what did you expect and like how did it play out?
I'm pretty sure you and I spoke at like towards the real beginning of this and like just friendly just said like, hey, what are you expecting here? And my thought was, you know, pandemic's hitting, the market's going down. I mean, again, market obviously is doing fine right now, but, you know, the market was going down and it started tanking right away. And I was like, all right, luxury items are typically the first things that people get rid of or don't buy. So I was expecting, as I'm sure almost everybody was, because we kept getting asked, you know, like, is the bottom falling out? You know, a lot of buyers were sitting there going, I'm ready to buy. Let me know when this market is tanking. And it never did.
Why did people want to buy in the pandemic, Scott? Why do you think people were so excited to buy?
I wish there was a better answer. I really don't know. I mean, I think a lot of people were sitting there. I mean, you figured unemployment was skyrocketing. There's a zillion people who lost their jobs, unfortunately. And again, market was going down. I was going, the bottom's going to fall out. You know, you see some great prices coming up. And it just never did. I think it's probably
The forward thinking of people, Scott?
I think so. I mean, I think it's just kind of like, and this is the same way with Disney vacations. I'm sure, as you know, markets, you know, they fluctuate. They're up and down. There's ebbs and flows, you know, and people sometimes lose their jobs. They don't do as well. People will cut back on everything in their house, but they're still going to do their Disney trip. I mean, forget COVID where you're worried about literally life and death. I mean, when you're sitting there just going, We're having a bad year this year. You know what? We're going to cut back on the movies. We're going to not go out as much. We're going to do this. But everybody, I mean, you still got your Disney fans who sit there and go, we do a Disney trip every single year. That is the last thing we are ever cutting. And I think it was kind of like that with DVC, where the market was going down and, you know, people were sitting there going, you know what? It's going to come back. You know, everything's going to come back to normal eventually. There's no way I thought we were getting people dumping their contracts. Nobody dumped their contracts. People just said, you know what? We're keeping our Disney, but we'll cut something else. You know, we'll cut the cable. We'll do whatever it takes, but I'm not giving up my Disney trip for next year. I'm not going to just, you know, sell my contract. So there was never any huge influx of contracts in the market. and nobody was dumping them. I mean, it just, the market stayed strong, and the stock market obviously came back and is doing well again. And there was never that drop that I think pretty much everybody expected. I mean, everybody's like, ooh, I'm going to be getting beach club contracts at $50 a point. And it never happened. I mean, I think maybe contracts dropped like a dollar or two per point at first. And then they're at their all-time highs right now.
It went the opposite.
In the middle of a pandemic.
It went the opposite way, Scott. When I sold, you were like, okay, I know there's still a fairly good, you know, amount of buyers. Scott, I sold my Saratoga contract through you. And I got way more than I paid for this thing 4 years ago. And the market's strong. I don't laugh at it because I realize it's still a real good value at this point. Yeah. Because if you do the math on it, it's not like, oh, look at the suckers I got to buy it. No, you do the math on it. It still makes sense financially. It always did. The reason I sold this is obviously for different reasons. I sold it actually to go in and get into the next phase of my life. But you know what? I was surprised. And I always thought, man, the world of Disney economics, that is like bizarro world. So
it really is.
It certainly is. So the Disney Vacation Club market right now, is it as strong even right now today as it's always been, or has it tampered down a little bit since the fall, or where does it stand?
Honestly, I can't speak for buying directly through Disney. I can only speak for our resale market. Yes. And we follow some of the other resellers, you know, they post their stuff online, how they're doing and everything, because it's a tight-knit community. And everybody is posting for the past couple months, record prices are going up. I mean, it just keeps going up. I mean, Disney, you know, obviously people buy resale because Disney charges a lot more directly through them, and Disney's prices on the resale market, they keep increasing their price on the direct market. They keep increasing their prices, and room prices directly through Disney keep jumping up exponentially. I mean, there are a couple times recently we had to quote somebody a Pop Century room. It was over $200 a night for Pop Century, and it was like 2 weeks before Christmas, like in like the dead time, not even like, you know, I'm sure, you know, during the holidays, prices go up a lot.
Yeah.
This is normally a dead time for Disney, and it was $200 for Pop Century.
Wow.
I'm like, are you kidding me? For the value resorts? I'm like, you can stay at the deluxe resorts with us for less.
Yeah.
I'm like, this is insane.
Gotcha.
So, I mean, it's just Disney's prices keep going up, and it helps keep the resale market and the rental market, you know, doing really well. Even during a pandemic, I mean, it's doing well. The rental side was dead in, you know, March and April when nobody knew when Disney was going to open back up. So we weren't getting a lot of new rentals at all. We spent a couple months just rebooking people's rooms for them to try to help save their vacations. Mm-hmm. But during that time, the resale market still stayed really strong, and now everything is kind of right back up. I mean, rental market's still down a little bit because there's a lot of people who still are worried about traveling. We're getting a lot of last-minute reservations for people who have said, okay, I'm comfortable coming within the next few weeks because I can kind of judge what's going on.
Yes.
And then it's like dead for a decent amount of next year until October hits. And then once you get to October, which is the 50th anniversary, it is getting slammed again.
Gotcha.
So right now it's like, you know, we're busy booking rooms for three weeks out and 11 months out.
Gotcha.
And there's like nothing between there almost, you know, there's a lot of people just said, I'm comfortable for right now, or heck, I'm going to come for the anniversary next year. So there's not a ton of people who are planning maybe, you know, for April, May, June, July right now for next year. Maybe they're still worried to see how things are going, but last minute stuff and pre-planned out for the anniversary are busy.
That would make complete sense. I guess I didn't think about the impact of the 50th. That's correct.
I mean, you're a DVC member. Saratoga Springs is sold out at the 11-month window.
Boom.
I mean, for people who are watching this and listening to this, I mean, Saratoga Springs is the largest resort, typically sells out last. Sometimes you can find Saratoga Springs still available, you know, a week before you check in. We're 11 months out, which is the furthest only Saratoga Springs owners can book, and it's sold out because everybody's trying to get here for the 50th anniversary.
Wow, that's kooky.
Yeah, I've never seen that ever.
Okay.
So it's, and again, in the middle of a pandemic still, people are already going, we're going next year. We're going to be there for the anniversary.
Well, you said something. You said, I'm a DVC member. I'm still a DVC member as we stand right now. So, but that's only, I'm half DVC member at this point. So anyways, give me your top three Disney Vacation Club resorts for everything included in the docket. Including restaurants, transportation, location, not necessarily in terms of resale value, but if you simply had vacation,
absolutely.
If you were just a consumer, just coming off the street, Scott Ferrioli from New Jersey, and you wanted to go on vacation, where are you going to stay your top three resorts?
What was that little joystick?
Yeah. Oh, I know. Man. I knew you noticed it. I noticed. I know you noticed it.
used to bother me on the Great Movie Ride every time when they sit there and they come out and go, "What is this, Joyzy?" I'm like, "Come on, man. We don't say Joyzy. Why do you say that?" All right. My top two are always the same, and I'm sure you probably even know my top two by now. Boardwalk and Animal Kingdom are my top two.
Okay.
The third one is a tough one right now.
Boardwalk, I knew for sure. Animal Kingdom is so hard to beat. Even right now, if you told me to tell somebody where do you go, I wouldn't even hesitate. There wouldn't even be a doubt in my mind. I'm not saying Polynesian. I'm telling you, go to Animal Kingdom Lodge. No doubt in my mind. And I'm saying stay at Jumbo if you can, just because it's so close to all the stuff.
And that's the one thing that's tough. Both of those resorts are, I think, they're the only two DVC resorts where the whole building is not open. So I've stayed at both Boardwalk and Animal Kingdom multiple times now since the pandemic. Mm-hmm. And like the restaurant at Jumbo House, not open. The gift shop at Jumbo House, not open. Only the fifth floor for DVC members essentially is open right now. So it's very, very quiet there. And the restaurant and gift shop are not open. So that honestly really hurts. Mm-hmm. However, I love Jumbo House. Mm-hmm. And right now it's super quiet because there's nobody around. So it's actually really, really nice. Same with Boardwalk. Love the location. Love all the restaurants there. Half of the restaurants aren't open as well. So the resort, only the villa side is open. The inside for regular rooms isn't open as well. So there's a lot less people staying there. So when you walk around the Boardwalk, it's relatively abandoned, but I mean, there's not a ton of people around. And they're not doing the performances like they normally do. So it's not the same atmosphere as normal, but still absolutely fantastic. And they're still my two favorite resorts. Third resort, though.
Yeah, I once watched a video on Facebook. Somebody actually had like a 3-bedroom grand villa at Boardwalk and wanted to rub it in people's faces that he was there. I was watching. Yeah. You were rubbing it in my face, Mr. Farioli. I was watching.
You personally got you.
You did get me. I saw it. No, it was an awesome room. It was a ridiculously awesome room. When you go there, honestly, there are a lot of people that are going to watch or listen. It's bigger than your house. It's bigger than my house. When you were saying the square footage, it's like, wait a minute. My own personal house is smaller than that 3-bedroom.
Yeah, the large rooms.
Oh, it was awesome.
I like those. I think Boardwalk's like 2,300 square feet. Grand Floridian was what we did. It was 2,800 square feet for the Grand Villa. That was nice.
Good heavens.
That was really nice.
All right, give me your third. Third.
Wilderness Lodge is so beautiful.
Let me ask you this while you're thinking. Mm-hmm. Is Riviera a possibility?
Riviera is a possibility as well. Okay. One of the silly little things. I sent you video from that day. One of my kids' favorite things was playing bocce outside at the Riviera. They're little athletes. They loved playing bocce. So we were sitting outside in the courtyard, and they're piping in like this little, like Italian music in the background, and I mean, you really felt like you were somewhere special and different. Like, and the kids were just sitting there playing bocce and having fun, and we were just literally sitting on little benches watching them. I took a video for you showing you the kids and everything. It was really, really peaceful there. Riviera is, it's up there. It's really, really nice. It could be number three. I haven't eaten at Riviera yet.
Okay, that was my question.
I've heard great things. I've heard great things about Topolino's. Mm-hmm. I've heard great things about, I can't remember the name of the restaurant downstairs right now. I've walked in there and they've had a pretty large menu for a quick service restaurant.
Okay.
I've heard pretty good things about them. Like, I've heard great things, but it's one of those things that like I went there and then everything shut down. Hmm. And then like I haven't stayed there since everything reopened. So I really haven't gone back there. It's also since the pandemic, they've been a little tighter with letting people into the resorts, like if you're not staying there. So, I mean, I've gone over there because I took the Skyliner gondola over from like Epcot area to there just to like check it out, just to walk around. And we did a video from there a couple days ago as well. I still haven't eaten there, and they're no longer doing the bocce just because of, you know, pandemic, I guess, trying to keep things clean and maybe having people gather around. But it's up there. It's a fantastically well done resort. It's very, very, it's luxury, and it's on scale with Grand Floridian. So I mean, it's right up there. Lobby's not as impressive. It's a nice little lobby, but it's nothing very impressive.
Okay.
But very nice resort. Rooms are really nice. The whole area is nice. Great splash area for the kids. I mean, on the Skyliner, it's a fantastic resort. Because it's so new, I've physically stayed there once. So right. I don't know it that well, but it's really nice.
All right, I'm holding up my third finger.
I see that.
Is that number three, or do you
Oh, he's pushing me. Oh god.
Come on now. People are
Beach
waiting
Club's
to book.
Great too. That's the problem, that they're also good in so different. Polynesian's a great resort, fantastic pool. And that's what's great about DVC. They're all so different. They all have things that are better than other resorts. They've all got their little niche, what they are.
What, are you running for political office here? I need a third, Ferrioli. Come on. What are you doing to me? Give me a place.
Wilderness Lodge.
Wilderness Lodge. Okay.
Wilderness Lodge.
That's hard. It's hard to argue that. That when the moment you walk into that lobby, that Animal Kingdom Lodge, that's a jaw dropper. You know
exactly that, and the same, that, and that's why I love Jumbo House as well. You walk in, every big open air lobby, 6 stories tall, and it's just, oh my god, I can't believe I'm staying here. Because honestly, I never thought I would stay at these places. So I'm like, I walk in there and I'm like, wow, this is just breathtaking. And I mean, this, as you know, same architect who did Wilderness Lodge did Animal Kingdom Jumbo House. So they're very, very similar, beautiful, and especially during the holidays right now, decorated with their trees up. I mean, they're absolutely gorgeous resorts for the holidays as well.
So everyone who's listening that's a diehard Disney fan, and even casual Disney fans, they can relate to this. And if you're listening and you're just a casual Disney fan, you may not, and you'll think we're kind of foolish. But if you're sitting on the Magical Express, the first moment you see the Welcome to Disney World, Walt Disney World sign, you get a little bit of goosebumps on you. And then when you see the street signs that are, Disney thematic, and it says Wilderness Lodge straight ahead, and you get a little bit of goosebumps. And the moment you look at the lobby, you get a little bit of goosebumps. But the moment you smell and you step into the lobby and you're there and you're staying there, Scott, it's like no other experience. And people are like, yeah, it's like a resort. I get it. I've stayed at like the La Quinta. It is nothing like staying at the La Quinta. It just automatically, even as a local, you must still have that sense of, bam, right up the back of your spine when you walk in.
I just came up with number three. It's not Wilderness Lodge.
Oh, my gosh.
And don't get me wrong. Wilderness Lodge is awesome. I totally forgot Vero Beach. Disney's Vero Beach. Not at Magic Kingdom.
Look at you. Vero Beach. Look at you.
You don't think about that. You put me on the spot, and I'm just thinking Walt Disney World. I was like, I go to Vero Beach twice a year. I love Vero Beach. Vero Beach is fantastic. It's not Walt Disney World, but it's a fantastic resort. I mean, I love it. Laid back on the Atlantic Ocean. Beautiful. Vero Beach.
In our Facebook.
Sorry.
No. In our Facebook group, Tyler Lee's been there and espouses the virtues of Vero Beach. Chris Young's been there. Loved it. Scott Ferrioli's been there. Loved it. I mean, everyone who goes to Vero Beach comes back to the same thing. It is not the Walt Disney World vacation, but it is a different kind of vacation, and it won't be my last time coming back for sure. Everyone says the same thing.
It's one of those things that it's really good for maybe 3 to 4 nights. There's not a ton of stuff to do there. It's not Walt Disney World.
Yeah.
But a beautiful beach, the pool, the location, everything is just really nice and laid back. The cast members are ridiculously good there because they have to be. They know there's no park to distract you. So everything they have to do is above and beyond. And the cast members, everything's great at Vero Beach.
Nice. So we went and talked about all this Wilderness Lodge, and then you threw Vero Beach in on me. Very good. But it's hard
it's
to argue
Disney,
this.
I'm sorry.
It doesn't have Disney. Walt Disney World. It only has the freaking ocean for you to look at every day, right? That's a pretty big bonus there.
Yeah.
All right. You said one thing, and we're running long here, so I want to get one question in. You mentioned to me about how it can be a little harder to get into resorts. And I know in a previous show on the Dubs, Peter mentioned to me that, it's kind of hit or miss based on security, who's at the gate. What has your experience has been? Because one of my favorite things to do is to resort hop and trade pins and just go to the shops and walk around. You mentioned you're frugal. There's nothing better than a nice, relatively inexpensive evening, starting off at the boardwalk and walking around the loop around Crescent Lake and getting an ice cream and kind of walking through the lobby. What has your experience been resort hopping right now? Is it completely verboten, or is it like it's okay as long as you're staying, or what did you pick up?
It depends, and I really think Pete's right on the money. It depends who you get. I mean, and some places are tougher to get into than others. I mean, like right now, always Bay Lake Tower is always a pain to get into. Really, really tough because they're trying to keep everybody out from going, oh yeah, I'm coming in here to go, to shop around or do this, and then just walk over to Magic Kingdom. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's the only resort right now that has a walkway to Magic Kingdom. So they're really, really tough there. And other Saratoga Springs, Old Key West, I mean, you can pretty much get in there no matter what. But I mean, other times, I mean, I know people who are staying there. They're staying on our points. Some of them are friends of ours. It was Boardwalk. Love Boardwalk. I was meeting them. I was coming to their room. I pulled up to the front. It was my wife and my kids who pulled up to the front gate. This is a good friend of ours. I said, my sister is staying here. You know, does have the same last name. You know, she's married. Not a big deal. My sister is staying here. Here's her name. Here's the room number. And they started getting tight with us on it. They're like, well, what's the name? Here it is. And, well, where are you meeting them? I think we're meeting them in the lobby, but we're supposed to go into the room. Like, well, what are you planning on doing? I'm like,
what
does it matter? My sister's staying here. I mean, it depends who you get. I'm sure some are relatively easy, but you know, they've been tighter recently. And again, even when name dropping somebody who's staying there in a room saying it's my sister, my family's visiting her. I mean, still, they were really, really tough with us. And I think at that time we did that, Epcot wasn't even open yet. So it's not like even that we were going to like just park there and walk over to Epcot or Hollywood Studios. They weren't open and they were still tight with us. So I was like, my gosh, what else do we need here? I mean, again, we've got the, here's the membership number. Here's their name. Here's everything about them. It's my family. And it was still like, I was like sitting there like debating it for a little bit, like looking back and forth almost. I'm like, are you really not going to let me in?
Wild.
I eventually did, but I mean, it's been a lot tougher. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Cause that was always one of the things I was concerned about, or one of the things I've been concerned about was the fact that resort hopping right now, it probably is a good idea to be a little extra cautious right now, just based on controls and based on safety.
Yeah.
I understand.
They're trying to minimize who's, you know, they're trying to keep their limits down as well in capacity and stuff. So understood. I guess, you know, they don't want a ton of other people coming in and bringing extra germs in.
Understood.
But, you know,
understood.
So it makes sense, but yeah. So again, exactly what Pete said, you know, it depends who you get. Some people come right in and other people are, again, you know, I'm thinking of a blood sample and scan me, my forehead and everything to make sure there's no issues.
Gotcha. Yeah, exactly. Okay. So Scott, if anyone's got any questions for you, both as a local food restaurants, and we're going to do another show very soon. I know we're throwing some ideas around and you've got a bunch of ideas about dining, about best possible places, best bang for your buck dining options, best places for families, for
the
frugal families. So I know there's another show coming up really soon, but if someone wanted to contact you on anything we talked about today, local establishments, anything along those lines, how they find you, what's the best way?
Best way, email me at Scott, S-C-O-T-T, at, and then the website name, dvc-rental.com. Don't forget that hyphen or dash in there. I mean, it's Scott Fraioli. You know, name's right there.
It's right on the screen. Yeah.
Right on the screen. Scott Fraioli is on Facebook. I mean, we're all over Instagram. Now, at DVC Scott. DVC Scott at TikTok.
Yeah. Oh, TikTok. Lord. You'll see Scott TikTok.
Chris, I've talked about that.
You'll see him dancing like, and everything. It's awkward, but yeah, worth the vision there.
That's worth it. So worth it.
And you've got a bunch of Facebook groups as well, too. Mm-hmm. So your logo for your business, so in case people don't recognize it, your logo is?
A monorail. Always look for that monorail.
Gotcha. And what about the buy and sell logo? What is that one?
It's the ferry boat.
It's
a green ferry boat from like Magic Kingdom. You picture the ferries at Walt Disney. So we try to think of something different for that one. So that one's the ferry boat.
Nice.
You know, steamboat type thing. So yeah,
nice.
Old style steamship.
If you joined our Facebook group too, if you are a listener or a friend and you join our Facebook group, it's called EDCOT, E-D-C-O-T. Scott, his wife's there. Shannon's there. So you can ask a question there as well too. And if for some reason you can't find Mr. Scott, contact me. I'll text him. I'll get him right in the horn for you. Scott's got the direct bat phone, like Commissioner Gordon, right into Scott. So no problem there. All right, brother. I appreciate you staying on and taking up so much of your time this morning. And
great. Oh, love being on the show. So thank you, always.
Outstanding. If you've listened this long, thank you. We hope we've at least inspired you to maybe consider that trip. And we've, you know, at least kind of portrayed the correct attitudes and an honest assessment of what Walt Disney World is right now. And if you could go to your podcast server and leave us a review if you enjoyed the show, great. We appreciate that. Please do. So for my friend Scott and for myself and for my missing co-hosts today, Peter, Michael, and Stacy, I'd like to thank you. Have a great day, everybody.
Thank you very much.